Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead this morning and we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Corinthian church to let them know a few things. That they have something very special from God. Actually, someone very special from God. It says in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." In other words, the Apostle Paul describes where we're at as believers. He's saying, look, we all have the Holy Spirit in us to show us, to teach us, to reveal to us the things that we have from God. But he doesn't do it with man's natural wisdom. He does it with a supernatural wisdom, a spiritual wisdom, comparing spiritual with spiritual. All right? So it's a different kind of knowledge. It's a spiritual knowledge. You know, Jesus, you know, at one point in his ministry, he just cried out to the Father. He said, "Father, I thank you. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes." So the kind of knowledge that we have from the Spirit of God isn't based on a real heady, intellectual, wise and prudent thing. The people who got Jesus in his day, for the most part, were the simple. That's what Jesus said. And he said, you could be really smart, bright, but yet wisdom could be hidden from you. There's a simplicity, there's a humility, and there's the ability to see things, all right? Now, there's nothing wrong with having education, being smart, being intellectual. The Apostle Paul was very educated, but he was very spiritual. He loved God. He had a humility. God was able to use that intelligence in a powerful way. But it's important to understand, as we're believers, and as we're looking to understand and know things, we're not to be intellectually intimidated. We're to be listening and to be educated by the Spirit of God within us.
Amen.
One of the powerful ways he does that is he compares spiritual with spiritual. That's a powerful way we can learn and grow as believers too. And this morning, I just really felt compelled to minister a message along the line of doing that exercise. For example, of comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now, there's good comparing and there's bad comparing, right? The scripture says, don't compare yourselves amongst yourselves. That's not wise. Don't say, I'm better than you, and comparing and getting into a game and a competition. Bad comparing. God says don't do that. But there's a good comparing where we can step back in our own lives and compare spiritual stuff. And as spiritual men and women learn and grow as we do that kind of comparing. So this morning we're going to kind of do a comparing exercise. And I want to take a look at two things in comparing spiritual with spiritual. I want to compare, first off, what we'll simply call your salvation, the new birth, your spiritual experience when you received Christ, when you got saved, all right? When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, however you want to phrase it, term it, you believed in Jesus. You heard the gospel, it made sense, saved, born again, became a Christian. That moment of salvation, okay? There is a certain freedom there. I remember I was at a Nikki Cruz crusade, received Christ, prayed that prayer. I remember just literally feeling the freedom from guilt. And just, wow, amazing. Just freedom. Okay? So that's one spiritual experience that we've had when we came into the church, when we became believers. But there's another spiritual experience that we have here too. That would be kind of the spiritual experience of an unbeliever becoming a believer. But now there's the experience that as a believer, there are times when I experience freedom in Christ. When I'm free from pulls of things. When I'm free from fear. When I'm free from the fear of man. I'm free from the passions of the body or addiction. Free from hatred and bitterness. There's a freedom that I've experienced, that I'm walking with close fellowship with God. I'm in the zone. I'm on my game. I'm getting things. I'm giving out things. It's a glorious place. All right? There is freedom there. But as a believer, invariably, you bump into your own selfishness. You bump into other people's selfishness. You bump into the pressures of the world. You bump into things that can knock you off your game. And you're not experiencing that freedom anymore. The title of the message this morning is simply called Freedom Conclusions. All right? Freedom Conclusions. I've been over here. I've been in the pit stop. I've been in the ditch. I've been sidetracked. I've been spinning my wheels. And one of the things the Lord has done with me to help me get out of the ditch and back on the road and back into a place of freedom is He's had me go through the exercise of comparing spiritual to spiritual. And I just want you to see this morning that there is some powerful comparisons between your getting saved, your becoming a Christian, and experiencing the freedom of God's love, and living in that freedom of God's love. The conclusions you had to come to over there to become a Christian are the same conclusions you still have to come to now that you're a Christian. The same conclusions you had to come to get free are the same conclusions you got to come to stay free. All right? So again, call the message Freedom Conclusions, and we're going to compare spiritual with spiritual. We're going to take a look at a few things. Now, the first conclusion you had to come to is simply what we'll call a revelation conclusion. All right? You had to get a revelation of your own sinful condition, right? The scripture says, I'll just go ahead and read it here. The scripture says in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And maybe you didn't believe that the first time you heard it. I'm fine. I'm a good person. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need religion, all right? That's good for you. I'm fine. I'm good. You know, I don't need fixing. I don't need, you know, I'm good. And then you go through maybe a little more life and you realize, no, I'm selfish. I'm mean. I can be cruel. I can, you know, you realize over time sometimes, you don't always get it the first time, but over time you get a revelation. I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of the glory of God. Until you can see your own sinful condition, you don't need Jesus. Jesus came to save sinners. And if you don't recognize your sinful condition, you don't recognize your need for Jesus. So you need to recognize a Savior has a purpose. He came to save us from a sinful condition. And so there's a first revelation that you've got to get. You've got to realize, I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I can't pull myself up by my own bootstraps and make myself kind and loving. I need help. There's nothing I can do to get rid of this guilt and this shame. I need help. I need forgiveness. I'm a sinner. And sometimes that one can take a while to get. But as soon as a person realizes it and realizes, I need help, I need a Savior, that's when Jesus makes sense. That's when the story of somebody dying on the cross for your sins makes sense, when you can connect it with your own failure and your own shame. And for the first time, it's not just the story of a man dying on the cross for your sins, but you see your own sin on that cross in a personal way. It's like, oh, yeah, that's my sin. He died for me. I get it. I'm a sinner. I need that. I can't do this. I need help. So that's the conclusion you come to. It's a conclusion of revelation. A revelation of your sinful condition. You need that to become a Christian, right? All right. Hold that thought. As a believer, as you're going through life, as you're endeavoring to live for God, and you get sidetracked, and you're banging your head up against that wall, and you seem in a ditch. The same scripture that tells the unbeliever all have sinned and come short of the glory of God tells the believer, and this is in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, it says, the cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinion, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, all similar behavior. All right? Many times, I'm over here in this ditch, and there's stuff I'm living on top of. You know, if you come to Door of Life, we've got a whole message called The Middle Flesh. And a lot of what that's talking about is, it's talking about, you know, we think of the works of the flesh, you think of the wild parties and murder and drunkenness and kind of the physical stuff. But there's also those areas of hatred and outbursts of wrath and quarrels and all, that's all there. And a lot of times when I'm a believer, I can lose sight of that. And the same way I had to get the revelation here, that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, as a believer, and I don't care how long you've lived for God, you got to get the revelation, I'm in the flesh. I can't get out of here. I need help. Christians, we're pretty good at spiritualizing and cloaking our flesh as problems that need to be solved, not behaviors that need to be repented from. I'm just talking about comparing spiritual with spiritual now. Freedom conclusions. The Lord has told me, Ed, you got to come to the same conclusion over here with that simplicity that you did over there. Hey, I'm in the flesh. I'm mad and I want to stay here. I'm in the flesh. I need help. These are just simple conclusions. They're humility conclusions. God resists the proud. As long as this person is fine and they don't need God, he's got nothing to give them. But as soon as they cry out and say, ah, I'm a sinner, God help me, he gives grace to the humble. As long as I'm over here justifying why I can be here and this, and I got 15 scriptures to quote, but not recognizing the simple fact, I'm in the flesh, God, he's got nothing to work with. But when I say, huh, I'm in the flesh, I need help, I can't do this myself, help. What are we talking about? Freedom conclusions. The first conclusion you got to come to is the revelation of your own condition. If you're going to live in freedom, I need God's help. I'm not going to complicate things. It's amazing how you'll see a connection between humility and simplicity. All right? Which brings us to our next conclusion. The simplicity conclusion. The simplicity conclusion. It's one thing to get a revelation that, okay, I'm off here, you know. It's another thing to get what we'll simply call the simplicity conclusion. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And there is something that is so simple about our salvation. Whosoever will. What about all the injustices in the world? It's a big topic right now. Injustice. Intolerance. All the political stuff. All the upheaval. Looking at all the dark things that happen. You look at, you know, I almost kind of, with trepidation, look at the morning news. Just because there's so much going on. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in the earth, right? And so over here, as I'm believing that, you know, a man died on the cross for my sins, what about all the complicated stuff in the world? How could there be a loving God? How could there be a loving God if there's all this evil going on in the world? Right? I don't totally understand it. I don't get it. There is part of that simplicity of a little child. I'm just saying, I don't understand. I don't get it all. All right? Of course, as a believer, you understand there's not just God. There is the devil. There is demonic activity. There's a lot of stuff that's going on that's creating havoc. That's not God. All right? But over here, you're looking at this world, this big world you live in, and you're presented with this simple little message of Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. And with the simplicity of a childlike faith, you say, I don't get it. I'm not the technician here trying to solve it or problem solve it. I'm just asked to believe in the simplicity that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse me from all my sin. That there's nothing that's left uncleansed. But that he cleanses me from all my sins. And even though I don't know why this happened to this person or why that happened to that person, I'm trusting God with my life. Even though I don't get it all. We're just talking about the point of salvation. You didn't problem solve all the world's problems before you became a Christian. At some point, there was a simple acceptance. I don't get it all. I just believe. And I believe and I receive that grace and that forgiveness. And you experience forgiveness. You experience, and it's amazing when you come through the other side. I remember, like I said, when I received Christ, I felt lighter on my feet. It's like, wow! I still didn't have all my answers, but something real happened in me. I really got saved. I really got born again. I really got a relationship with God. I really got a prayer life. I really was getting things by the Spirit of God. Something really happened to me that still didn't solve all those problems. But I just, with simplicity, trusted God, and he really saved me. Even though I didn't have the answers to all those questions, he still got me to where I needed to be. There's a revelation of simplicity in salvation. All right. Freedom conclusions. We're comparing spiritual with spiritual. Let's go over here. We're believers. The same Jesus, the same blood that cleanses from all unrighteousness got me to be a new creation in Christ. Made me a brand new person. And that first scripture that we spoke at the beginning of this message, God gave us the Holy Spirit. Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And what the scripture tells us now as believers, it says, this is Romans chapter 8, this is verses 1 through 4. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now, that's a lot of theological stuff going on there. But the key takeaway I want you to get, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's nothing going on There's nothing the enemy can throw at me that's bigger than the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He makes me free from the law of sin and death. In Titus 2, the Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously in this present age. Now, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. When I was over here, I had to believe that Jesus was a one-size-fits-all answer that included me in the middle of all my why God questions. And I had my why God questions, but I just believe that. There's a simplicity, conclusion. We're comparing spiritual with spiritual. You've got to come to the same simplicity conclusion. The same one-size-fits-all Jesus that saved me is the same one-size-fits-all power of the Holy Spirit who redeems me from every lawless deed. I've been living for God since about 1980-ish. Right? About 40 years. And it's easy to contrive little things and through the years and why God, things like that, and get complicated and even be able to quote some scriptures. I'm telling you what, there's a simplicity. The same Jesus that answers every unbeliever's question that brings him to salvation is the same Jesus who gives me the power of the Holy Spirit that is the answer. The scripture simply says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. But there's a simplicity. I gotta believe that the answer is simple. Again, we're talking about simplicity, humility, freedom conclusions. There's a part of me that wants to fight. There's a part of me that wants to problem solve and to even be able to do that sometimes on a spiritual level that's not dealing with some issues. Alright? I gotta believe, in the same way I had to believe Jesus was sufficient for my salvation, I gotta believe the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is sufficient. I just gotta believe that it's sufficient. I don't even have to know how. I didn't get all my why God questions answered there. Again, 40 years, been able to develop a nice little drawer full of why God questions. I was living for you then and that happened. Why God? Why God? Maybe it's more complicated than what I thought. Compare spiritual with spiritual. The Holy Spirit will bring you back to a place of simplicity. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. In the same way I had to look unto Jesus and call upon his name to get saved as a believer in the murk and the stuff that's going on, laying aside the weights of the sins that so easily beset me, I'm looking unto Jesus. Simplicity. Simple. Don't be surprised when the Holy Spirit tries to really simplify things in your life. He wants to bring you back to that place of simplicity and humility and take that pressure off your mind. The same way he took it off there, he'll take it off here. And it's okay, God. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I still believe after 40 years it's as simple as walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here we go again. I don't have to get all these answers before I walk in the Spirit again and play hard to get with walking in the Spirit. No. I don't have it figured out, but the answer is looking unto Jesus. He's the finisher of my faith. So my answer isn't going to be getting it while I'm problem solving why the faith didn't work. The answer is going to come as I'm looking unto him, and then I'll get revelation of why that didn't happen. But it's so subtle the way the enemy does that. There's a revelation of simplicity that I'm going back to simple. I'm going back to just walking after him. And then finally, there's a revelation, what we're simply calling a revelation of grace. That's what you had to get here. And this is what we celebrate with communion. I come over here. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I might even see people that are Christians and they're on like this other wavelength and they get each other and I don't get them, but I know they're getting stuff and they got something I don't got and I want what they got, but I'm so far apart. All I can do is this. Just call upon the name of the Lord. There's nothing of myself that I can produce and put on the table and exchange.
exchange for salvation. I can't, there's nothing in me. All I can do is surrender. All I can do is respond to the heavy lifting that was already done at Calvary. That's all I can do. It's the only card I can play. And that's the only thing he wants me to play. Say, yeah, okay. So I can do, I can just respond to your love. And in responding to your love, the gospel is the power of God into salvation. And when I receive the gospel, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those who would believe. How would man set it up? Certainly not that way. There would be something we'd put on the table in exchange for something. God doesn't set it up that way. It's by grace through faith. And that's what we find out in Ephesians. So well put, where he says, for we are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's a gift. Nobody put anything on a table over here. All you did was yield to the heavy lifting that was done in Christ at Calvary. And that's what did the work, ultimately. What is that conclusion? It's a grace conclusion. It's nothing of myself that I can get free. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Let's go over here again. When I finally do come to that place where I realize, hey, I'm in the flesh. I'm not going to stop making excuses. The flesh looks like that. I look like that. Whether people can see it on the outside or not, I know what I can see on the inside. That looks like flesh. That's why I'm in this quandary. I need to come to the same recognition that I need to do over here and say, I'm dealing with sin. I need help. I'm dealing with sin. I need help. The answer is going to be frustratingly simple. No satisfaction to our spiritual egos, intellectual egos. There's just nothing of self that we're going to plop on that table and say, yeah, I did that. There's nothing there. It's just, help me. Simple. I don't know how you're going to do it. You're the head. I'm not the head. You're the thoughts. You're the brain. You're the spiritual brain, Jesus. You're the head of the church. Up to you. Same thing over here. I'm looking unto Jesus. I don't know how you're going to get me out of this one, Lord. But I'm just looking unto you. And I'm just believing two things at this point. I'm believing I'm not justifying my flesh anymore. I'm recognizing my sinful condition over here. And I'm also recognizing the answer is going to be simple. It's not going to be that missing link of that one book or that one. It's going to be simple. The Holy Ghost is going to bring you back to something simple again. The same way it was the simplicity of salvation, there's a simplicity of the law. The Spirit of life can take away anything the law of sin and death can dish out. The answer is simple. But also, it's going to be a revelation of grace. And this is what we kind of quoted. For I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is what Philippians says. Now, I've made that decision. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, he says, I have strength for all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything, through him who infuses inner strength into me. I'm not plopping anything on the table over here either. I'm simply allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to work in me. Now I can stir up the Spirit of God. I can declare the Word of God. I can worship. But all those things that I'm doing are not things of self that I'm doing in exchange for God to do something. I'm stirring up the power of the one who's in me. Carla brought out a beautiful scripture last week that where Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I can't forgive. Yeah, you can forgive. Apart from him. Impossible. But through him, you can do all things. It's grace. It's grace. In the same way we had to come to that grace conclusion, we lift up that cup and just say, wow, praise God for the cup. Whew, where would I be without this cup? In fact, in heaven, that's going to be one of our songs. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who redeemed us to God by his blood. We're going to be celebrating that through eternity. Because he just, that's grace. There's a power of God that comes in you. And that's the same thing that happens over here. Even when you walk in the Spirit, even when you're spending some time in the Word or worshiping and praising, the power that's stirred up is you of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of him and not of us. Even when the Holy Ghost rises up in you and you have power over an addiction, you have power to withhold your tongue, you have supernatural grace to forgive, you know that's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You're not doing that on the strength of personality because you had a good day today. It's the power, it's grace. The same grace that saves us is the same grace that empowers us. And so there's a conclusion that I got to come to when I'm over here and I'm stuck. Hey, I'm in the flesh. I need help. The answer is going to be simple. It's going to be the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can repent through Christ who strengthens me. I can forgive through Christ who strengthens me. I can suffer long and be kind through Christ who strengthens me. Because it's him. It's his strength in me, giving me that ability to do it. So what are we doing this morning? These are just freedom conclusions. Sometimes you got to compare. I know what I was like over here. So I got a baseline for comparing. And I can go back over there and say, yeah. I mean, even if I'm talking to somebody over there, you know, come on, you can't. You know, we all need Jesus, right? You know, nobody's perfect, and we need, you know, we understand how to talk to that person. We got to realize sometimes that's the way we need to talk to ourselves when we get over here. Hey, Ed, don't fight it. You're in the flesh right now. When you do that, there's mercy and grace to help you. And I got more news for you. The answer is going to be real simple. You're just going to look unto Jesus in a very general way. Take a bunch of pressure off yourself. Because when you do get free, it's not going to be you. It's going to be Christ in you. It's going to be his power and his strength. What is this message? This is more of an exhortation message. I got to believe the Holy Spirit, who does the second sermon, who basically preaches to you about what I'm preaching, that he's doing the heavy lifting this morning. He's showing you what that means in your life. But God loves you. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not just light over here to get saved by. It's light over here too. But this is what makes it light. We come to the same, Jesus said, unless you be converted as a little child, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about humility. Same thing here. We get often deprived, spiritual pride. We have to have that same humility and say, the yoke is still light. I just need help right now. The answer is really simple, and it's going to be God's grace and strength. I'm just looking unto you, Jesus. Help me. Strengthen me. Begin this path, this trajectory. It's amazing what he can do over here. He can quicken something to your heart and your mind. You know, you could sit down and read a book that seems random, that seems nothing spiritual. You can change the whole course of your life. One book. I remember seven of me back in 86. It's a tape series. I was doing some programming for a guy. He had a tape series laying around spirit, soul, and body. Development of a whole man. Wow. That sounds kind of cool. Kind of felt and just like over here, all he's doing is just kind of that next thing. You know, there's a song, this movie Frozen 2 that came out. And there's a song there that says, do the next right thing. You know, do the next right thing. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll show you to do the next right thing over here. Not trying to put some problems on there. But as you're doing the next right thing, something rises up in you. And there's a strength and there's eyes and you can see stuff. But it stays simple. That same simple pattern that you got saved by and got set free by is the same simple pattern that keeps you free. Those same simple little freedom conclusions that you come to. And I just trust God's going to show all of us and help us. And let me just say this as a final closing thought. A lot of times, this is a process over here, okay? You come over here and all of a sudden you get hit with maybe a fear attack, or maybe a financial attack, or a relationship attack. You're going to go through this process multiple times with different things, but this is where you're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony right here. So there's process here. You know, you get freedom, then Satan, the flesh world, the devil tries to knock something else off. It's the same process no matter what you get attacked with. It's the same thing. You're honest. I need help. God, your strength, your spirit. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for freedom conclusions, the things that we already know, the things that we've already experienced coming through salvation, that these truths are still true for us today, that we can be honest with our heart, and that we can have a simple solution to realize that you do have one-size-fits-all answers when it comes to the flesh, the world, and the devil. The greater one who's on the inside of us is greater than he that's in the world. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is greater than the law of sin and death.
We thank you, Father God. We still have the simplicity of your power that gives us everything that we need, by which we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for my salvation, that I could see it. I was a sinner needing a Savior. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me that. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the simplicity in Christ, that Jesus died for the whole world, including me, and that I am saved by grace. There's nothing of self here, just your love. And as a believer, thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing me and revealing to me, sometimes through the grieving process, when I'm off, when I miss it. Help me to be sensitive and to admit I need help. There's nothing to solve here. There are things I need to repent of and to look unto you again with my big complicated mess and have a simple trust looking unto Jesus, the finisher of my faith, the one who's going to bring it to perfection. That's not my job. That's your job. As I look unto you, you can do your work in me. And I can do all things by grace of your strength. My salvation is not of myself. My living for you is not of myself. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from you, Jesus, I can do nothing. It's your grace from beginning to end. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's helped to unstick me a few times, you know, where I've just needed to kind of get over myself a little bit and just realize, you know, I'm comparing spiritual with spiritual, which is what we have the Holy Spirit to help us do. Sometimes I just overcomplicated things. The yoke is still easy. The burden is still light. The truth is still the same. The Lord is the same. The Spirit's the same. He just invites us to a very simple life. A simple, intimate life, hand in hand with Him. And He shows us those things. Praise God. We'll be encouraged. Like I said, I just trust the Holy Spirit in you is just showing you what this really means to you. And, you know, how to help you. And to just make some adjustments. It's amazing how quickly you can have a breakthrough with just a heart adjustment. Say, help me, Lord, I'm wrong. Then grace comes to the humble. But sometimes it's just a little heart adjustment. It's like, praise God. That's it. You're the same, Jesus. You don't change. Same Spirit, same love. Praise God.